Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers Podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers Podcast. And join me on the other line for what is going to be probably a four-part mailbag series is Mr. Tony's. Tony, are you prepared to answer 32 mailbag questions?
You know, I think so. This has been a fun gauge for me in what people like to talk about, because normally we ask for a mailbag, we get like 10 to 15 questions or not even that. This time we got upwards of 30. So people like to have their free agency questions answered.
Yeah. So if you listen to the intro, if you are listening to this podcast on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you can go back to previous days and listen to old mailbag ones and start. We're going to start on Tuesday. What is that? April 30th and run through May 1, 2, 3, right? That's the dates of these four mailbags. If you send us a question, we're going to answer it. I mean, it is Sunday at 6:38 Eastern time. So if your question got in before that timeline, it will be answered on this podcast. If not, unfortunately, you'll have to wait for our next mailbag show. But we have probably bitten off more than we can chew, but you know, it's a good problem to have to have too much audience engagement.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Also, because of the way we're doing this, I can't do the thank you tweets to people who did questions. So you'll have to actually listen to figure out when your question gets answered this time.
Yes, but we're answering every question that got sent to us. If we missed you, you can tweet at us on Friday. We didn't get your question by Friday. And we'll answer it on our next show as an apology.
Yep. All right. Let's get to it. All right. Part four. We're flying through these for you guys. For us, not so much.
24 down. 8 more to go, or 25 down? I lost count.
Yes. 20. I don't even know.
All right.
I have all the screenshots of our man. I lost.
Somewhere between 7 and 8 left. All right.
Sebri asks at Matt Sebri, Sebree. What is realistic What is a realistic package that the Pacers could send to Memphis in exchange for Mike Conley? Is there any way the deal could be made without trading either Holiday or Sabonis? Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate that.
Two firsts.
Probably one of them is unprotected, too, because they're not, you know. It's the only way you get it without one of those guys.
Yeah, but I would unprotect the next year. We can't do back-to-back year first-round picks.
You can't do back-to-back years.
You could do 20 and 2022.
Yeah, and it's also interesting, like, because you know how picks, what do they say? The pick loses value the second you make the selection. Like, if you can agree in principle to this trade before the draft, then you could do your 19 and 21. But once the draft is over, you can't do it until 20 and 22. And the trouble for me is the 2022 draft's when that high school rule is going to come in, right? So you really want to do that one.
Well, I don't remember if they said that or they said 2023.
Yeah, but you don't want to risk it, do you? You know? Because one of those drafts is going to be insane. Just nuts.
Yeah, but again, the question is, are you valuing that too much at this point? I don't know.
I don't want to risk being the team that doesn't have it.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Ballsy move. But you could do like 2025. You know, you could just be like, screw it. We're going way beyond. And that would be fine.
That was something I didn't think about. The merging of the draft year. Whenever that happens. Good point, Tony. I commend you for that one.
Joe Mullen actually brought it up last week. Don't thank me. I forgot about that. That dude's Conley article was brilliant. But the other parts of the trade are basically McDermott and some other money.
Yeah, I mean, technically, if you have Turner for Conley, you could do it, right? That's no Holiday, no Sabonis. That's technicality.
That's true. That's the way. Good question. All right, this one's hard because I have to think of it on the spot, kind of. Although I kind of already did. Mavs Drafts, great dude on Twitter, great draft stuff, great NBA content. At Mavs Draft says he wants a game of max trade cut, and he's going to let me pick the players involved for you, Adam. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I have chosen Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and Chris Middleton. Consider age in your discussion here.
So you said Butler, Harris, Middleton?
Butler, Harris, Middleton, max trade cut.
What does that mean?
One of them you max, one of them you trade, one of them you don't have. It's just like
it's
like the NBA version of kill.
I think I'm running it out. That's what I think.
cut. I have my answer.
Okay. I think he cut Middleton, right?
You finish yours.
I think you trade Harris. Yeah, trade Harris. And what was the last one? It was
Max Jimmy.
Thank you, Max Jimmy.
All right, I'm Max and Jimmy too, but I'm cutting Tobias and trading Middleton.
Yeah, that's close.
I think I can get more value for Middleton than Harris, but that's tough because Tobias just fetched a huge haul. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, and they're both at the same point in the contract too, which is interesting. Yep. All three are at the same point. Yeah, what do you mean? Harris got, what, 2 first-round picks from like
that was
like
nuts.
Half a roster.
It's only been 2 months, and I'm still like, how did the Clippers get all that? That's insane. And Shamit looks like a player. It's nuts. Because
I'll tell you how. The Ringer killed Philadelphia's GM, who was experienced. They hired Elton Brand, who isn't a bad guy, but inexperienced, and really thought this was his year for some reason.
That Ringer article is some of the best investigative journalism ever.
They didn't do anything. They just got it from somebody.
But no, they did. They dug around. They found all these accounts. They, you know.
Was it them? I thought the whatever thing fed it to them.
Fair enough.
I mean,
did a ton of work. And then Sixers Twitter was like, all right, we're going in.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the problem is with Bill Simmons' Boston bias, you almost could see it as like, did he just take down a competitor to Boston? Now, in their defense, they didn't do it. And the guy who wrote the article was Chris Ryan, Chris Ryan wrote one of them. So he was a big Sixers fan. So, I mean,
yeah.
It's not like that really. He still wanted to report it. So, I mean, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that's what James Dolan would say conspiracy-wise. That's my James Dolan minute.
You have a point. that we got off topic, but that Tobias trade was nuts. That was a fun question.
It's Elton Brand made it. Elton Brand is an inexperienced GM, and I don't know. That just didn't make a great move, I guess.
If they keep both of the guys, it's worth it.
That's true.
AJ Reese, another big fan of the show at AJ Reese 13-13. One, not an NBA question now.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Oh,
this
could be hard. What kind of ice cream do you think each returning player likes most? We're just going to do the rotation, guys.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to do everybody.
Who's the players? I got to put players on a list.
Turner, Sabonis, Vic, McDermott, Holiday. Just those five.
Sabonis.
I don't know. Miles is about to get his contract extension to make a ton of money. So whatever ice cream you find to be the most rich. I'm hilarious.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I'm trying to think of jokes for each one. This one we should have prepped for.
I know. We didn't. We say we don't prep because it's better, but we should
have. This one we could have prepped for.
This one we could have prepped for. I didn't think about it. I've made a mistake.
I've got McDermott's because it's just a good joke.
Go ahead.
Vanilla bean because he's so bland.
Ooh, I love it. Can I pick like sherbet for Holiday because he's a kid?
I was thinking that. I started thinking of a kid when I was thinking like a sprinkled cone with some kind of
chocolate
swirl.
Same page.
Something full of sugar is what I was thinking.
Wait, is there this might be like a dumb question, but like, is there like a popular flavor in Europe that isn't popular here for Sabonis?
I have no idea. They like.
They're
a big gelato people out there, right? Or that's he's
from. Okay, Sabonis gets gelato. There we go.
Oh no, he's from. Where's Sabonis from again?
Lithuania.
Isn't that's like the northeast part? That's not gelato. Is more
Florida,
the south.
Florida. Crap.
I don't know.
Let my joke fly.
If you're fine,
Vic.
Although I do want to say, Holiday's only a year younger than both Turner's and Sabonis.
That's
right?
True. That's like, true. So but we called him the kid, and we did not call them the kid. So.
It's like a mint chocolate chip fan. I don't know why. I just feel like he's a mint chocolate chip fan.
Nick's the guy who goes to like one of those Froyo places and puts like every topping on it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was thinking he was. I like mint chocolate chip because I feel like he sings a lot. And he always has like a fresh breath, but like
it's
he
like one scoop of ice cream, but it weighs like 6 pounds on the weight.
he's like from India. He like you go to Huddles and it's like, oh, give it whatever you want. It's like $20.
That was fun.
What would Turner's be? What do you say for Turner?
Oh crap! I thought we did Turner's. I did the rich joke.
Oh, that's right.
Unless you want to think of a better one.
No, that's fine. I like the rich joke.
Okay. Two least favorite players in the league character wise: Zaza Pachulia sold.
My least favorite player. Can I tell you my least favorite NFL player?
Yeah, AJ likes football.
I do not like Deshaun Watson. I think he's so overrated.
He's not good. I agree with you.
Okay, I get yelled at for not like him because I'm like, I just didn't like him in college either. NBA player.
Bro, Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson are like the highest paid quarterbacks in football. Neither of them are super awesome. This is my outside football take.
Wilson's pretty good.
I don't have many. The problem, like, I somehow am more okay with a few dirty plays from, like, Patrick Beverley and Draymond and, like, guys who are actually good. But Zaza just stinks and just, like, stumbles around and hurts people. Same with Deli. Deli's another guy I don't like.
I'm not a big fan of Dwayne Wade, to be honest.
Yeah, Pacers, a lot of Pacers people will agree with that one.
In this podcast, I think he PG in the head on purpose, and that cost the playoff game in 2014. Not a big D Wade fan.
Question three here is fun, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay. Over under 2.5 returning free agents signed by the Pacers. I say over.
Who are the three?
No. He means like out of every guy who's a free agent, so all seven dudes.
Yeah.
Over under 2.5 of them are back next year.
I know. Who's the three if you're going over?
One of the point guards, Thad Bojan.
Oh, okay. I think I would be at two, one of the point guards, Thad or Bojan.
Okay. So you're under.
Ooh. I think I'm under.
That's a fun one. I like that. Good job, AJ. Three fun questions. That's what we're all about here. Another three-parter. Man, we got to limit these next time.
No, one question.
You can do three questions. It just has to be three tweets so I can see it,
That's fair.
When I'm flipping through them. Anyway, Monchi at Julio 46 Mendez. One, what do you guys have planned for the summer, like trips and stuff outside of basketball? I love it. Personal life questions are fun. I think I'm going to South Carolina.
What part?
Myrtle Beach area, but not Myrtle Beach because it's too crowded.
Yeah, I went to Myrtle Beach once. It's very touristy.
Yes, and not super touristy. Although I am, my family is the people on vacation who like do stuff. So
yeah, we're gonna rent a cabin and go to the Smokies.
And then Memorial Day weekend, I'm either going to New Orleans or DC, yet to be decided. Both fun, but I've been to New Orleans and not DC, so I hope it's DC.
I will be at the race cheering on my girlfriend's father who works for James Hinchcliffe. So go Hinchcliffe. Go Hinch.
Yes, I've never been to the Indy 500. I am prepared to be crucified for that, but that is a fun event, so have fun.
Yeah, Marina's dad works for one of the teams, so I would go every year.
Super cool. Two, biggest or most impactful free agent signing the Pacers have done in your lifetime? David West, probably, correct?
Let me go through this. I'm thinking. Give me a second. Free agents.
Free agent signing. That makes it harder.
They sign?
I think it's David West.
I'm looking up a year.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think of guys who I even like put in the tier with David West. In my lifetime, like limits this quite a bit because there's probably good ones before that. Did they sign Dale Davis? Oh, I just dropped my phone. I'm sure that was super loud. Did they sign Dale Davis?
I don't remember, to be honest. Or
Antonio, because one of them could be the answer, and those were both after I was born.
I'm trying to. Davis
drafted. I should have known that. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm an idiot.
Did they sign anybody in the 04, 05 year?
My Pacers history blows.
Right, they traded for Jermaine. That was
he signed. Oh, Antonio Davis came back. He signed, so that one could work.
Right, and they traded for Jalen Rose too. Right,
they traded for Jalen. Yeah, that was.
They made a lot of trades. They never actually signed a lot of guys.
Exactly. David West might be the answer, man.
Yeah,
David
West is probably the answer. Or they
signed Antonio Davis before I was born. Man, that shows my age, though, because that wasn't, like, super long ago.
You missed my joke.
What?
Or Monte Ellis.
Okay, well, like, you know what's funny is, like, Monte and Tyreek, given their body of work before coming to the Pacers, are, like, top five best, quote-unquote, guys they pulled away, but their impact on the Pacers was nothing, and David West was huge. So,
all right, so I've got one question. What's worse, Monte Ellis or Al Jefferson as a signing?
Monte, done. Sold. Easy. Done. That was the easiest thing ever.
I don't know. Jefferson's pretty bad.
I tried to keep it redacted earlier, but the team hated Monte, and he stunk. At least they liked Al Jefferson.
Al Jefferson became, a three-year $24 million deal, not a four-year four.
Yeah, so, definitely okay. Montez was worse of the two. Three, you're stranded on a wild island with one Pacer as an ally. Past or present, who do you choose and why? Very fun. Ron Artest should be a trendy answer here. He'd change his name to like Meta Wild Island or something like that. Who you got? Anybody? Any Patriot past or present?
Past.
So some of the ABA, like Roger Brown would be a good one.
Yeah.
Some of those ABA guys who are on title teams are tough as nails. McGinnis. I'm trying to think.
David West, tough person.
Is a good one. David West, very tough. Yes.
Because, like, I'm thinking about like the biggest dude, but like, Hibbert's not that tough.
He would fall over. He'd be on the ground too much to help
me. It's a bonus, maybe. Somebody's bonus is pretty tough.
Bonus is a good answer. I like this is fun. Oh, like anyone on the Tinsley Gunn team, right? Like Steve Jackson, Al Harrington,
Jamal Tinsley.
Jamal Tinsley himself, yeah.
You're the worst.
Yeah, that is a fun one, but I don't have a definitive answer. I guess David West. David West gets two of those answers. I'll pick David West. All right, this one is, I don't know if this was a question or just like someone being funny on Twitter, but I wanted to make it a question. One man's opinion at Cool Guy Zone said, Braun to the blue and gold. So Adam, how do the Pacers get LeBron this summer? Trade Vic and stuff and just pray the Lakers are like, we don't want this guy anymore.
Turner and four firsts.
And pray, yeah. God, that would be crazy.
Would they even win a championship if they got LeBron? I don't know if they would.
If they keep Vic, maybe?
I don't know. I think that LeBron is kind of, so dare I say, past the chance to carry a team.
He's not the best player anymore in the league.
Like, no, Harden or Durant or Giannis is. One
or Giannis. Ones. Yeah, I think Giannis is the way to go. So, I mean, clearly top five player, like, yeah. And
Durant's that name, really good. Do you watch Durant? Durant was really good.
Nuts. Yeah.
Two-way, too.
7 foot tall dudes who can hit jumpers, turns out.
And can play amazing D when he tries.
Yeah, pretty good basketball players. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like I wouldn't take LeBron, obviously. It's just, that's fun. That was just fun. All right, Jake Brooks at Indiana Brooks. How would you define a successful offseason for the Pacers? How would you define a disappointing offseason? Personally, I am ready for Pritchard to just go for it. Good question. Because they have multiple paths that they could, in theory, go for, a long-term approach, a short-term approach, it's hard for me to consider anything a super disappointing one unless they just get, like, nobody.
So here's mine. If you throw back to when the podcast from Tuesday that we talked about, if they re-sign they bring in a bunch of guys at the same value of, like, a Thad and Billion that are, like, the same kind of player, basically re-stretch set what they have, I'd be like, why would you do
that? I agree. If they get like Aminu, Rudy Gay, and
let their five basically main guys go, it's kind of stupid.
That's true. If they keep their own guys, that's different though. But yeah, that's true.
Yeah, anything else is not that bad. Successful would be finding a way to get Mike Conley without giving up as much as
possible. You know, we haven't talked. No one's asked about this, but like because of Vic's injury, like you don't know how good he's gonna be, and like there's value of having that information, like they could go a ton of different ways. And I know people would be disappointed in them like not doing much of anything, but it does make some sense.
The most success though is getting Conley as cheap as possible. If they got Conley
No. Hold on. The most successful is Kemba. Then that.
Really?
Me. Yeah, because you wouldn't have
to give anything up. Train. Wow.
You don't have to give anything up for Kemba.
Wow.
I am on the Kemba train. I was not on the Kemba train before, but I just said it.
You have not. You are.
Whoa. Vic getting hurt has put me on it.
Remember, Conley's only 2 years left. Kemba will be four.
I know.
You really? Wow. You were off the Kemba train for a while. I remember this.
I was. I'm back.
You vaguely assaulted me.
I have hopped on the Kemba train. Because when he was expiring, he could have left, and it's too much to trade for him. I am on the Kemba train.
All right. That's fine. I think Conley
is the most successful to me.
If you can get Conley for just a first round pick, that would be awesome.
That would also be awesome. Yeah. If you can get Conley without giving up too much, that would also be awesome. Because that's the only reason I pick Kemba over Conley is because they don't have to give anything up for him. But
yes. But a first round pick is not for, I mean, a first round pick might be the 20.
Yeah. You're right. It's just, he could go for it this summer. That's certainly a strategy because Vic's not going to be cheap forever. Sabonis isn't going to be cheap forever, but they could do it again next summer and have the information of Vic getting hurt. Like, I know that would suck to see, but it's certainly a strategy that makes sense for them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Gary, the man. Gary S. Cook at Gary S. Cook. Who was the best fan show host ever? Gary. Gary led off the fan shows talking about seeing a naked lady at a Pacers game.
I think he might win the award. I don't remember.
Unrivaled winner of that question, like no doubt.
I don't remember, to be honest. We should do more this summer.
There were a lot of good ones. They were fun. I did enjoy them. I don't know if we're going to do them again because they were really, really hard to coordinate. But I know they were fun. Yes,
they were a pain in the butt to coordinate.
They were a pain to coordinate.
Maybe we should do like you can leave a voicemail kind of thing. And then we'll like.
We should do the voicemail. Miller Time. Born Ready to Pod does the voicemail thing, and it's good. I like the voicemails.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that. We'll do that later.
Yeah, not for you guys to do it. His second part. I think is just agreeing with something I said, but he said, I agreed with your research today, especially the guy from the Heat, Dragic, who's a major upgrade over Kojo. So he liked my three under the radar guys, which Adam, it was Aminu, Rudy Gay, and Dragic. So, I don't know how you feel about those three guys, but if they need to upgrade at positions and or have some depth, I like those guys.
I'm low on Dragic because of his
age. And
injury history. Other two I'm fine with.
I think Dragic could get paid too much, but
cost is where I get worried.
Yep, understood. Aminu is basically just like Thad, but on the Blazers instead of the Pacers.
Yeah, he's not good as that. Not quite.
He's close. He's pretty close.
He's close.
He's pretty close. And he's not Thad, like characterized stuff too.
Why would
like,
he leave though, the Blazers?
I don't know anything about his character, but like fitting within the Pacers. No, it's like if Thad leaves, then you go for Aminu.
But would the Blazers let him go is what I mean.
I don't know. They're going to be close to the tax. And they'll, you know what I mean? Like they'll eventually.
Have a new owner, though.
That's true. I don't know how they feel about that. Corey Anderson, smart guy. He's been replying to me a lot recently, and he says a lot of smart things. Not that I feel weird like complimenting people like that because they need – anyway. I agree with them because basically they're going to end up having to pick between Harkless next summer and Aminu this summer because of the tax if they're averse to paying it. So that would be why he'd be available. And then Rudy Gay, I have no idea what Spurs are thinking with him, but.
I think that you guys remember that if a team like the Portland 2 ends up making the West Finals.
Conference Finals, yeah.
Losing the Golden State in 6, they can talk themselves into the fact.
Everyone's coming back. If they win one game in that conference.
Because you talk yourself into the fact, okay, if KD leaves, we're as good as any team in the West.
Yep.
Which they actually, that might be right, to be honest. Especially with Nurkic coming back. You could definitely do that next year. Yeah.
I'm with you. I am with you. All right, last question. We made it.
Can you imagine? Oh, man. Wow.
All right. Another Locked On Pacers faithful. Big Nick, Dewan8 underscore. His last two messages to me are both mailbag questions. Appreciate you always participating, man. That's awesome. He says, this is the same as our first question. Almost. How awesome is that? I like Jamichael Green as a backup option for no Thad. And I'm not sure why I love Brogdon for us, too. What do you think? We talked about Jamichael Green early, but we'll do it again because it's three episodes later now. He's good. He's like not as good as Thad. So as a starter, I'm not. He has to be your worst starter in my lot. He'd be great as a depth piece. And then Brogdon is scary because of his price and restricted point. But he's a good player. He would help the team if they could get him at a reasonable cost.
Yeah, I mean, talked about it on one of the podcasts this week.
Do you know Brogdon's 26?
I knew that because he played 5 years in college.
Isn't that nuts? He's only been in the league for like 2 years, 3 years.
But he's played 5 years of college. I mean, he played.
He might be old. I just switched from Cancer's page to his page, and they're the same age.
Like, that's crazy. That
is crazy. They're both 26.
Can't have been in the league forever. It feels like. The thing with the Patriots, they have to accumulate with their cap space enough players who can play in playoff rotations. That's the key. Yeah. That's the goal. Is to get
him. Michael can, but barely. And Brogdon.
Might be too much because you might be losing out on two players, but taking one essentially.
Yeah, Brogdon was good in the playoffs the first time he was there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I guess if you let's say you get Brogdon and Randall, you don't get anybody made. Brogdon, Randall, you bring back Bojan.
Is that a good offseason? You do bring back Bojan.
No, you bring back Bojan, but you go Randall and Brogdon. Is that a good offseason? I mean, you can probably get those three.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, oh yeah.
45 total, right?
You could probably. I worry again that they're relying on Vic's creation a ton if that's your whole summer, but that's fine.
Well, can't Randall? You put him in the post.
No, Randall cannot really create his own shot.
How was he doing? Was he doing with Drew basically? Is that what he was doing down in?
He's a great pick and roll player.
Okay. Well, that would fit Vic very well.
It would fit Vic very well with Vic. That is true.
And that might actually fit Holiday well too.
Yeah, Holiday, that's the hope, right? I just said Vic's the only guy who can create off the dribble. You hope Holiday can do it at a better than, 39 or whatever percentage. Yeah.
here. He's got to figure out.
He can kind of do it, but he's just rough on the edges. Yeah, we've talked about it a lot.
His 3-point shot feels like that. If it starts falling, it's going to just fall out of Douglas Ray.
It looks good, which is good. You know, Leafs kind of looked awkward, and now it's flatter because he gained all that muscle. Like, at least Holiday's looks good. So,
well, like, in a sense, it reminds me of like when Dame Lillard was taking 30-foot threes for a while, and like early on before he started hitting them at the rim, he's hitting them now.
And
like,
here first, Aaron Holiday next.
No, but like it's like all of a sudden those start falling. He finds a way how to make those fall consistently at a decent rate. Like, it's game over. But I mean, that's a pipe dream, to be honest. I mean,
I'm just projecting
on like if that happened, it's like, oh my god, this guy, what's his potential theoretically?
This is my final aside for our mailbags because we talked about the Pacers for so long. I can talk about someone else. Dame is just this playoffs for him has been so awesome. Just so
cool. He's become a top 7 player in this playoffs. He probably replaced AD in my top 7.
Oh yeah, he. You know they talk about much has been made recently of the 82 game player, 16 game player deal. Dame is both.
Yes,
and those are the guys who are in your superstar realm because he is amazing in both instances.
Him, Harden, KD, Giannis are probably the best 4 players in the playoffs left. Curry,
yeah.
I meant Durant too. The 4, KD. Okay, Curry would be the other one I throw in there.
I agree. I'm with you.
And Kawhi,
Kyrie's really good in the playoffs too.
But the Kawhi and Kyrie are the players who kind of are halving it in the regular season a little bit.
yeah, you're right.
I mean, Kawhi played 59 games, right? I mean, he didn't.
He is killing it, too.
Oh, he's killing it, but Kyrie was bad. Was not bad. I think it was a cancer for his team for half the year.
Yeah, but he's killing it now, too, and they're Kumbaya Celtics now. So,
yeah.
Kick the doors off the Bucks today.
Isn't it crazy? Well, I guess they won one more game than the Pacers, but like, the Thunder is a parallel to the Pacers. It's like actually pretty much position.
They suck. They were bad. Everybody was picking the Thunder. I was like, guys, like Dame's the best player in that team.
I was afraid Dame was going to suck in the playoffs. He sucked last year, but I was wrong. He was
awesome. So much should be made of how good Giroux was on him now that we can see how good Dame can be.
If Giroux wins out, he should be the first team to call.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I was going to say one more thing. I forgot what it was. Crap. Oh. Would it make you feel any better if the Celtics make the finals after that they saw the Pacers?
I don't really feel bad, to be honest.
I don't either. You know what I mean, though? Like, okay, you couldn't take a game from the team that won the slog of the East Side. That's
the Cavs made me feel better this year. I don't feel bad. They didn't have enough. They didn't have their best player.
They wouldn't want. They wouldn't want. I'm not trying to say the opponent is the reason they lost. A little better.
I feel like the Celtics winning the first game is classic move, and the Bucks and Mel winning 5-6.
Well, what did I see? I want to find Dan Feldman's tweet here. This is riveting stuff because this tweet was now like 7 days ago.
Oh, right. But recording on Friday and it's Sunday.
Basically, it was something that said like the last 4 road teams to win a game won by 15 plus points all lost the series.
Pacers won
the Pacers last year. Yep.
Well, no, the Pacers did it against Miami back in 14 as well.
They did against, you're right. They did.
They won and they kicked their butts that first game. And everybody's like, oh my God, Indiana might be good. And then they lost in 6.
Guys, thank you all for tuning into these mailbags. And thank you all for listening all season long as we did this 5 days a week for 8 months?
Whew, man, we made it through, Tony. What a year.
What a year. We're not done. Never done for those of you that have not.
What do we have coming up, Tony? Why don't you tell them?
Yes. Yeah, so 3 days a week starts next week. It's probably going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It almost certainly will be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but basically just 3 weekdays. You'll hear our first one next Monday. We're going to talk about players winning certain awards. And then it'll be 3 days a week up to free agency. Maybe we'll do 5 that first week of free agency. And then probably mid-July, once all the noise is settled and player movement stops, we will do 1 day a week until preseason games. So
we'll probably have another mailbag too eventually.
We will do a mailbag much closer to free agency starts. And sorry, I just cut you off.
But this counts as kind of a May April mailbag, so maybe until July range.
So coming up specifically content wise after that show I just talked about, we're going to start reviewing the season of every player. I don't know what the schedule will be for that. We'll probably tell you on Monday, and then we're also going to start doing draft stuff. I'm not sure how we're going to squeak that in, but we will talk about it.
We always do.
And by that, I mean I will have smart draft people who actually watch more college basketball than me come on the show.
Or me. I am not. I know my strengths, and college basketball talk is not one of them.
Let me tell you, Zion Williamson's pretty good. For everybody else, I got nothing.
Hey, Tony, you heard of this guy? Is it Ja? Ja Morant.
Ja Morant.
I heard he's pretty good. Is he
can be good? I know some people are kind of low on Morant, but I like Morant.
We could Mike Francesa and just say, oh, he's going to be great.
Mike Francesa is the best sports radio guy who like can bullshit an answer.
Well, like when you said Tyler Hero in one of the podcasts, I think it was the first one of the week. I knew his name vaguely, but if you had told me a name close, I probably would have went with it because I really have no idea. Like I know the top three. Bears gonna go three.
No, right? I know most of the first round guys because I try to read a bunch of.
Oh, I don't try to the offseason. I know the top three are Zion, RJ Barrett, and Ja. That's it.
Yep, that's probably it. All right, again, guys, thank you so much. See you Monday. Oh, go ahead.
I just said thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll see you Monday. We'll keep it rolling. Thank you so much for the questions, and have a great weekend.